Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Woodward Fail Music Speaks, the podcast where we fight depression with the power of music. That's right. And we have an awesome interview today. I want to tell you about it first, before we bring him on. Paxson Chase is an indie artist from Trenton, New Jersey, known for blending alternative rock, lo-fi, and bedroom pop styles. His music often delves into themes of mental health, reflection, heartbreak, personal growth, and resonating with fans all across the globe. And even he talks about his emotional wellness and relatability. Paxson, we are so excited to have you on, sir. What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing much, you know, regular day, but I appreciate you guys having me today.
Yeah. So before we get started, for those who are joining in with us on YouTube, you can see that Paxson has a mask on, and we are delighted because he told us before we came on that I'm his first interview with it on. Is that correct?
Yes, you are. Yeah, I've been doing music for a little bit, but I started wearing a mask, and this is the first one for a little ever. Nice. So, yeah. First time
Right. So, for what I get with the mask, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you want the music to speak for itself. You don't want to be out there in the open. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah, with the subject matter that I use. And I noticed that when I would get written about in like certain blogs and stuff, yeah, they would call me the poster child or the poster guy for these things. And I don't want to be the face of these things because we all feel it. You know what I mean? So
right.
I wanted to do something to like kind of take away the face aspect and make it more of a, we all have it. This is all for all of us.
Right. Yeah. And okay. So I see roses, black roses, correct? All over the mask. Okay.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what was going through your mind when you're like, okay, I got to make a mask to stand out from, like, you know, somebody else? Like, why black roses? Why the whole black mask?
Truthfully, I was looking for a mask. I knew I wanted to wear a mask. I didn't know what I was going to do mask-wise, so I just went all over the internet, and I happened to find this one, and this was my favorite one. So,
okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, so you didn't make the mask. Okay.
I am not that talented.
but you can contract that out. You know, you can contract out somebody here to make it for you. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So you might do that next mask. I don't know. But what I want to tell you is, I want to commend you for making me laugh in one of your videos. It's a song called White Heart Emoji, and the part that made me laugh in the video is your friend had a bear. You took the bear from him, shoved it out the door, and started singing. That's great, dude. I love any kind of music that makes me laugh and think at the same time, you know. And I guess that's what you were going for when you did the White Heart.
Okay. 100%. Yeah. Wanted a little bit of comedy, you know, something in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have a new album, new EP called It Hurts, Doesn't It? And it released December 18th, 2024. So that's pretty new, you know. Is this like a concept album? Because when I read the titles from first to the sixth, I think it's six titles, you know, it seemed to be like flowed in order like an actual story. Is that true?
Yeah. I put like certain skits in there. I wanted to give it the feeling of scrolling through TikTok or TV, whatever you want to call it. And but through it all, it tells a story of like feeling pain or feeling happy, going through grief, whatever it was in certain parts. Every song had a different story for it.
Yeah. And I read that you base all these songs, every title you had, you base them throughout your life, your experiences. Is that true? I mean, like It Hurts, Doesn't It, the EP resembles like a breakup or something, right?
Yeah. It Hurts, Doesn't It was definitely believe it or not, It Hurts, Doesn't It wasn't originally about a breakup. I didn't know what I wanted to do with it, but as I got all the songs, I had like maybe, I want to say 20 to 30 different songs, and I picked six out of them. But I knew the title and I knew what I wanted to do about it, but then I, as I'm picking the song, I did like have a relationship end. So I picked the best ones to fit what I was feeling at that moment for myself and for the audience.
Yeah. Now, when I was listening to the album, and it's so good, by the way, everybody should get it. It's on Apple Music and Spotify and all the others, right? There were times when I heard unusual sound effects, you know? What was the weird, or okay, so did you use sound effects first of all? And if you did, what was the strangest thing ever you used in any one of your albums or songs?
Sometimes I like to use certain sound effects to really emphasize the beat or how I'm trying to convey whatever I'm trying to say or anything like that. I think the weirdest one was a long time ago on the song called on the project called Pink One. And I use like a chirp phone. I don't know if you ever heard of that. I use like that sound in the background. If you go back, I think it was called a Dead Pink Roses or something like that.
Yeah.
And you'll hear the chirp go through it over and over again. I thought that was the coolest thing. And that was my first time experimenting with sound effects on top of songs. And I do that a lot. With most of my projects, I try to use little things to keep the listener involved or keep them like catch their ear again just in case they drifted off.
Right. So you said Pink 1 was on SoundCloud because you have Pink 2. You released Pink 2 in 2020. So I guess that's the first volume and the Pink 2 is the second.
Yeah. Pink 1 is on all platforms.
It's okay.
It's under like EP or mixtape or something like that. They categorize it differently.
It's a weird. Yeah. All right. Okay. So let's talk about your style, the style of alternative hip hop. Okay. I've never heard of it until now, which is great because I like, you know, understanding new genres, and they come up with all these kind of genres. But from what I understand is alternative hip-hop includes hip-hop as well as various other stuff, you know?
Pretty much. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, like not the average hip-hop instruments. Like you have electric guitars in your songs and
pretty much. That's the best way to explain it. Yeah, okay, I try to keep the roots of hip-hop because I started off as like a concrete, like core rapper when I started making music, but I just drifted and started doing a lot of different things, and that's where I am now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, how do you balance staying true to hip hop as well as incorporating these new sounds to your songs?
I try to keep at least one authentic hip hop verse on there, like really trying to rap. I did it on For It Hurts, Doesn't It, for example. I did it for Still Woozy. Whole time I sung a little bit, but then I did add like a rap verse at the end of it. I always try to put a rap verse in there if it's possible. Right. Sometimes or not, but yeah.
Nice. You are a wrestling fan, correct?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Netflix thing yesterday?
Unfortunately, I had to miss it, but I was a little upset I missed it.
Oh, yeah. But I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. YouTube has all kinds of stuff. But where I'm going with that is you had a sample of Jim Ross saying something on your It Hurts EP. Yes. Right.
That was the Undertaker pushing Mankind off the stage. Off the Hell in a Cell.
Yes, dude. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So besides that one, what's a sample you've always wanted to use but haven't been able to clear or even have the idea to use it? You know, because I know clearing like samples is kind of difficult for everybody, you know, from time to time.
100%. I can't really say there's any samples that I look at. And I mean, there's a bunch of samples that I can look at, but I don't think there's one that sticks out to me like in my mind, like, dang, I really couldn't use that one. I was lucky enough to be able to use the ones that I wanted so far.
There you go. Yeah. I guess every sample would be more easier or harder to get depending on where you get it from, correct? Weird, because I always like sampling. I always like to hear inspiration for other rappers, you know, depending on what it is. You know, you have the wrestling star, I know you're a wrestling fan, you know, and that's good because I am the one too, you know. So that's awesome. But going on to your success, because you are a very successful artist now, how do you handle the tension between commercial success and underground credibility, you know? Because I know you're an independent artist and not really well known yet, but you're starting to make your ranks up now. You know, how do you handle the tension between commercial success as opposed to underground?
I try to treat it the same. I don't want to try to make it too different or put it in different categories. It doesn't always work, but I try my best to treat it the same because I believe that, you know, the mindset that I've got is what got me here. So if I keep that mindset, it'll push me further.
Right. Awesome. So you live in Jersey, correct?
From Jersey, live in Florida right now.
Okay, so how cold is it in Florida? Because it's cold as hell here, and I live in South Carolina.
It's not. It's like cold. For me, being a born and raised Jersey boy,
there you go.
It's not cold in here. It's like 50 degrees out here. In Jersey, it's snowing right now. I just talked to my mom, it was snowing at like 20 degrees, probably. Yeah. Getting lower.
Yeah, they say that it's going to snow in South Carolina Friday, but I don't think it is. We haven't got snow in years, you know. Yeah. So I can barely walk through with my walker, you know, right here. But it's all good. Let's talk about the local scene in Jersey, though. So, how has the local scene, specific culture, shaped your sound differently from the regular mainstream hip hop?
I took a whole different sound, a whole different take on sound compared to my counterparts in Jersey. Jersey, especially where I'm from Trenton, yeah. So it's more of like drill, trap music, maybe old school hip hop, rap type of style. I didn't want to be a part of that. I mean, I did start off like that, but I started to listen to like different artists come out, like Kid Cudi or XXXTentacion, and they were doing like a lot of rock and roll, a lot of indie lo-fi and stuff like that. And that's just kind of what connected to me. So I definitely took a whole turn compared to the other people, other artists out of my city. And that was a little harder because, you can't really go ask other artists, or I couldn't at least ask other artists for a take on it, because they're like, what is this? I don't want to hear this. This is not, what we're doing right now. So I had to really push to drive and work outside of my own city to like really build up for a while.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Tupac with you just for a minute, and I'm sure you love Tupac as well as Biggie, been two mainstays in the rap culture. Tupac had a great book full of his poetry, and I don't think that many people understand that poetry is music. Poetry is music, not set to instruments yet. Did you start writing poetry first, or did you go strictly into music? And if you didn't, because I know you have like hundreds of sheets of paper in your bedroom right now, like it could be like really good poetry,
I started with just music. I can remember being a little as like maybe 8 years old. And like pretending or trying my best to rap or whatever you want to call it. As I grew up through middle school, I was really freestyling on the bus and stuff. Like I started through music, but when I got in high school is when I really realized what you said, poetry is music or music is poetry.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to write poetry a lot. Nice. I didn't release my first like actual song till I was like 17. I was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And I released it with another artist named Malachi, and me and him did a whole tape together. It was like, whoa, this is really happening type thing. But that's when I started to really sit down and write with the pen and paper. Like you said, I have a bunch of journals
with
songs. And every now and then, most times I write off my phone now with the Notes app, but every now and then I go back to pen and paper just to get back to it,
That's the classical style, I mean, it's always good to physically, because many people just stream music now, and I love the physical copy of it, put it into my hands. And if you write it with paper, you get your feelings out better, I think, than just typing it in on the phone, But, going off of your writing style now, since we talked about you being a poet, is there any, like, do you plan to release your poetry in, like, a book sometimes, the poetry that didn't make it to the song, songs yet?
Oh, wow. No, I never even thought about it.
Man, you should. You really should.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a great idea. I never even thought about it. Usually, there are, like, a bunch of lines or verses that if they didn't make it, they didn't make it.
Right.
I try to read it if I can, but most times, it's just like, some things just go in the vault.
Right, exactly. Yeah, released, like, later, right, yeah. But I'm sure you've had songs or poems that you really, really, really wanted to make but just couldn't do it right then, correct?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. There's been countless times where, like, certain things I really wanted to, create or do a certain way, and it just fell through or it didn't work the way I thought it could.
Yeah. So let's talk about your writing ability now, because a lot of people have different ways of writing, And especially with rap, I know that writing a hook is different from writing a verse. How do you make them both work together when they're two like totally different things,
The whole thing is like a puzzle for me, and I say this a lot. basically how I like to do it. I like to just grab the beat, whatever beat I get, instrumental, and I just freestyle to it. I sing on it, I rap on it, I dance, I laugh, I joke, I talk, whatever the case. And then I'll be like, oh wait, that was a good line right there. Write that down.
Yeah.
And then I start to write from that. And then I'm like, okay, you got like four lines off of that, Josh. And then I go and try it again. And I freestyle about reading the lines. I'm like, okay, I'm reading, and continue to freestyle from there. And then I'm like, okay, let's do it again. Keep going. And it becomes a big puzzle until I get a full page or a full song. And then I go, okay, this word doesn't need to be there. This word could be there. Or maybe take this line out and put this here. You know, start to really put it together and structure it the way a song is supposed to be structured.
It's like a big puzzle then, right?
Exactly.
Big 150 page jigsaw puzzle, I guess you would say, right?
Yep, exactly. Hell yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So alternative hip-hop is, I know it's different from regular hip-hop, so what's been the most challenging aspect of being alternative hip-hop that you met from guys who are strictly rap and hip-hop? Have they helped you in any way, trying to hinder you from doing what you want to do?
Definitely a good mix of both. Some artists are like open to working, but some artists don't even understand it or don't want to be a part of it. And it is hard to work with peers with the lane that I'm in, because the type of music they're making doesn't mesh with what I'm making. I have close friends that make music, and they do their things, and they're releasing and doing shows. And sometimes we are on stage together. It's good times, but most times I don't even have songs with them, because just the styles just don't mesh.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's cool on an aspect of like doing something different, but it can hinder you from like working with other people. Cause like this artist that I would love to work with, and I've talked to them like, hey, let's do this, let's do that. And they're like, I don't got nothing for that.
And
and I don't got nothing for them either. So
It's like both of you all are seeing two totally different visions, but have the same outlook, right?
Mm-hmm,
yeah, exactly. which is awesome, because everybody has their own division. And for you, I guess it's better for you because you're an independent artist. You know, you get to do what you want to do. You know, and I think if you're under a contract, you do what they say, or else I don't know. You know, okay. So based off that. What are some, given the fact that I might have some musicians that listen to us right now, what would you strictly go independent until you find a big name brand, or do you always want to go independent? Because it's a double-edged sword, you know?
I don't know, man. I mean, I was once signed to a label maybe 2-3 years ago, and they were great to me.
Yeah,
they were good to me at least. But my contract was only for about a good year, maybe a good 2 years. And once the contract was up, I was on my own again. You know, they didn't. Obviously, they were not gonna break their backs to help someone not signed to them,
right?
And I chose not to sign to them again.
Okay,
so
because my next question was, did they want to re-sign you again?
Yeah, I chose not to take the sign again, because I felt like once again, I think signing to that label was me just like, oh, whoa, like it's happening. I get signed, get a little paper in the pocket, but they didn't know what to do with me. Once again, it goes to the different genre, I think I was signed to a more rap label.
Yeah.
And didn't have too many things for the type of music that I was making at the time, or right now in general. So it was like, they kind of just put me on the sideline. Mm-hmm. I dropped my project Pretend under them.
Okay.
And that was it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, you know, two different entities with two different visions, you know, they can't make it work, which is always a bad thing, but it's like a good thing too, you know, because if it's a good thing, it works beautifully together, you know. If it's not, you know, I mean, y'all bust heads and one, I don't know, it's like, it could be a chaos theory is what I'm getting at, you know.
Yeah, No, yeah. Because not cause thinking about it, I dropped two projects. I dropped Yeah, Whatever, Cool Do You, a small little EP under them, and then I dropped Pretend, which is like a big project under them.
Okay.
And the push for it just, I could have did the same thing they
You
did for
could,
me.
right? Yeah.
Like,
You probably could do it better, right?
yeah, probably
Yeah,
better. So.
probably better than they could. You know, because I understand that big record companies will get your name out, you know, more and everything, but they take almost all the money, you know, and leave you like, you know, hating what you do, you know, and I don't want to see you. Because I really love your music, you know, it's very inspiring, you know. So,
That's one of the things is like, because you see it all the time, like, oh, this artist, like, he just gave up everything for the record deal, and he came back with nothing. Like, yeah, we know him, but like, what is he gaining? So, if being independent was so much easier, I think we'd all take it, though. You know what I mean? So, I think I'm with the lane that I'm in and the way that I see everything going, I think staying independent is the best move. I don't know what could happen in 5 years, 10 years. Maybe I'll get a good deal or something. I might take it. We don't know.
And we
But
don't know, right?
I'm definitely open to it. I'm
Yes,
not like, ah, no,
that
no.
is the right mindset, yes, because if you open them new things, you more so will attract to you, know. So,
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
I was talking about this next subject with a friend of mine today. So you know how people would say, "Oh, he just got famous like yesterday with him," but not knowing that they went like 10 years trying to get known. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? What do you think the percentile is that people are just up and coming, like overnight sensations, as opposed to people who actually work? My friend says like that there's 90% of people now, musicians now, that are trying to get found. You know, 10% are overnight sensations. What do you think? Do you agree with them?
Well, I would say I don't think there's really a lot of overnight sensations as much as they make it. I think it's like it's
Okay.
just the story that they try to make you like attracted them more. But I think like as artists, we all work hard. Been doing this for years, like from high school to now, and slow to get my name up. Like I believe that even those overnight sensations that we call them, probably working 10, 15 years
That's
beforehand.
what I'm saying. Well, okay, so perfect example, Ice Spice. I know you know who she is, yeah. I was watching a YouTube video, and I heard that she got famous off of her TikTok something, and then she blew up and got a record deal and everything. I feel like that's a lot of BS, you know, because I think behind the scenes she's been working, and they don't want to tell us that she has, you know. So.
I mean, when it comes to Ice Spice, like I've like looked at her discography. She had a bunch of songs before then too. Like before the song that blew up, she had other songs too that just didn't make it. So I wouldn't call her an overnight sensation unless we change the definition of overnight sensation, where it's like a person that just really blew up overnight after all the work that one song didn't there, you know. But to
Unless
say
they
that they
make it
just
like literally, you know, blew up overnight, you know, which could happen to either you or me, you know. We never know.
exactly. It can happen to anybody,
But I hope it happens to you first, you know, because I love you so much.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got a few more questions for you, and then I'll let you go here. So during your whole music career, what is a musical risk that you took that paid off really, really well for you? Has that happened to you yet?
No, I think changing my genre and my name were one of the two biggest things that I did. Because I used to go by JKS. That was my rap name, corniest rap name you could think of. And I was like just rapping, telling stories off hip hop beat, just like really rapping, like core root rap or hip hop, whatever you want to call it. And it was fun, but I wasn't getting a lot of attention. Numbers weren't numbering, wasn't really. I got booked for a couple shows, but not too many. But once I changed my name to I actually originally changed my name from JKS to Rain, but you
Right,
can't
okay.
beat like the actual weather, you know? So
No,
like,
right,
search me up.
Exactly,
You search me up, you'll see rain, but it was in me. It was like actual
today's
rain.
forecast is right,
Yeah, exactly. So,
the algorithm not very strong with the rank, right,
yeah. So eventually, I changed it to Pax and Chase. My friend had the idea. Another artist, my lover boy Kai. We were driving one day, back at home in my hometown, and we were on Paxson Ave. And on Paxson Ave is a Chase Bank. And he just looked at it.
Yes,
He was
that's
like,
it,
no, Paxson
bro.
Chase. Like, he's like, bro, Paxson Chase right there. And so I changed the name and I changed the genre. My first ever project in the genre that I'm in now was called Limbo.
Right,
And Limbo did horrible. I'll never forget it. I barely got any views, any plays or anything. And I thought like, crap, I have made the biggest mistake, but I stuck with it. And now I'm doing great. I'm having a good time.
Great.
I like where I'm at. So I can say
Great.
that was definitely really good.
Nice. Well, we do have let's see, we do have three more questions for you, and some of these questions are hard, so I hope you're prepared to answer
Now
these.
I'm ready. I'm
All
ready.
right, cool. All right. Okay, so how are you right now? You're about 25?
26. I'll be 27 next month.
I was close. I was close, you know? All right, so 14-year-old Paxson, right? You're in your room. What musical posters are on your wall?
14-year-old Pax God.
Or any, age that you had posters. What are we looking at?
Probably 50 Cent,
Okay.
Hobson, Michael Jackson at 14. Those were the only ones I knew. Those were the only ones I knew.
Right. And
As
Michael
time
J.
progressed, definitely had an X and a Kid Cudi one, but definitely those three first.
Well, I mean, you can't beat Michael Jackson now. Michael
Yeah,
Jackson's
you can't beat
everywhere.
them guys. Everywhere. Yep. Yep.
So some people say that Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson's credibility. I'm like, no, there's no way she is, because
Yeah, man.
if you go to every country in the whole world,
They know who Michael Jackson
everybody knows Mike. No, nobody knows who Taylor Swift is in Brazil.
is.
Come on now,
Yeah.
but that's just wow that they would even think about that. But she is doing a great job,
Oh,
selling out
of
shows
course.
and everything. Taylor Swift, so she's doing good. Okay, question number two is okay. So you have. Okay, so I will give you a Mount Rushmore, and then I want you to tell me who are your four biggest bands, artists right now that you listen to, or your favorite, like ever made.
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. You got four of them.
I can give you five, honestly. I think
Perfect. Yeah.
my top five artists of all time,
All time.
no order,
Nope.
would be XXXTentacion, Kid Cudi, 50 Cent, Michael Jackson, and Hobson. And they have all molded me and made me like think and work music-wise a different way because of them. So like
Perfect.
when I think of those five, when you give me that type of question, those are what I think of
That's it. That's the
right there.
Paxton question. That's the Paxton answer, right? Okay. Now this last question is gonna be hard. I don't. It might be easy for you. It's hard for everybody else, mostly. If you could give me one artist, album, or song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or your family or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul, what would that artist, album, or song be?
Okay, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Mac Miller.
Mac Miller, okay.
Well, yeah, man. I
You can't think of something. Okay. Well, you could just say Mac Miller.
now if I'm going through song, I'm thinking through songs. With the album, it's definitely off the album Swimming, probably 2009, or even Jet Fuel. One of those two, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
That's just still something to your soul that you can't tell anybody how it makes you feel.
Yeah, that's man.
Brother. Yeah, because Yeah, but that's what songs and music does to you. They'll open up your soul, and they will let the feelings rush out and everything. Yeah, so
exactly.
I just wanted to know that for me. So thank you for answering that for me. All right, so everybody listening right now, you can visit Mr. Paxton Chase on Instagram. He's Paxton Chase on Instagram. He's got a SoundCloud where he has a lot more songs that he hasn't released yet, right?
Oh, yeah. I like to just have like just random songs on SoundCloud because SoundCloud is where you find like the hidden gems. Like, not a lot of people go on SoundCloud no more. So sometimes I'll take like a song that I don't like or I'm not going to put anywhere.
Right.
On a major platform, I just put it on SoundCloud. So. Right. You'll always get a surprise if you hop on SoundCloud.
Nice, yes. Yep, you have on SoundCloud, Paxton Chase, and X, which is formerly Twitter. I always like to say that for some reason, you know. It always reminds me of Prince, formerly known as the artist, which is weird in itself. But he's on that too as Paxton Chase. So, yeah. Paxton
Chase.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So I did see an official website. Is that one coming or is that one planned out yet?
I'm still trying to make a website, get it all official. Yeah, it is coming.
Okay.
Soon, yeah.
Okay. But they can contact you on Instagram, SoundCloud, and X right now.
Yep. No, okay. Pretty much.
Okay. And we're on TikTok yet or no?
Oh, yeah. I'm on TikTok also.
Perfect. Yes, sir. Okay. So. Yeah, well, we love you here at Windward Trail, and we hope to God you come back anytime you want to. And everybody, please get the new album, If It Hurts, Doesn't It?, which is an EP on Apple Music or anywhere you can download or stream the album. And thank y'all for listening. And always remember, Windward Trail, music speaks. Bye, guys.